We continue in our study of Mishnayos Meseches Menachos with lesson number 11, in which we will learn the fifth and concluding Mishnah of the fourth Perek and the first Mishnah of the fifth Perek, Perek Dalet Mishnah Hei and Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Hei of Perek Dalet. This Mishnah is focusing on what is called the Minchas Kohen HaMoshiach, the Mincha brought by the Kohen Gadol, who every day of the year would bring an Asiris Ho'efah Soles, an Isaron of flour, Machatzisa Baboker u'Machatzisa Bo'erev, half in the morning and half in the evening. This Korban Mincha is of the Kohen Gadol is generally called in Talmudic language the Minchas Chavitin. Chavitin because it was brought on a machavas, on a pan, a frying pan, in which there was placed oil. As the Pasuk says, Al machavas bashemen te'oseh. The Mishnah teaches us some details, interesting details, about the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. First of all, Chavitei Kohen Gadol lo hoyu ba'os chatzoyim, even though the Torah required that half be brought in the morning and half in the evening, but he didn't bring it half at a time. Rather, elamevi isaron sholem, he brought a full Isaron. And the Isaron is about 4 liters. V'chotzehu. And he cut it in half. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a measuring cup, so to speak, which measured out a half Isaron. So he took the whole Isaron and then divided it into 2 halves using the half Isaron scoop. And he kneaded, K-N-E-A-D-E-D, he performed the act of lisha, adding water to the chalos, but he kneaded it in such a way that of each half isaron, he made 6 chalos, really 6 matzos, because he wouldn't allow them to rise. He would leave them as matzah. That was required for most Korbanos Minchas, we will see. They had to be matzah, not chometz. And for the Minchas Chavitin, it had to be matzah, not chometz. So from each half Isaron, he made 6 matzos. We'll call them 6 chalos, but remember, it's really 6 matzos. So we had a total of 12 chalos for the entire day, for the Isaron. Umakriv, and then he brought upon the Mizbeach, Mechetzo Bapoker, half of that in the morning, Umechetzo Bein Horabayim, and half in the evening. Now here we have an interesting machlokes between Rambam and Raifat. The Rambam says that he took all the 12 chalos and broke them in half, and took 12 halves for the morning and 12 halves for the evening. The Raivat says, no, he took 6 whole chalos/matzos in the morning and 6 chalos/matzos in the evening. V'kohen shehikriv mechtzo b'shachris u'meis. Suppose a Kohen Gadol came in the morning with his full isaron, took it into 2 halves and did the whole procedure, but was makriv in the morning, as he should have, 1 mechtza. Let's follow the Rambam, the 12 halves, the morning halves. Umeis, and then the Kohen Gadol died. Now what happens to the other half, to the half that he already put aside? Uminu Kohen Acher Tachtov. Suppose they immediately, before the evening, appointed a new Kohen Gadol. Lo Yavi Chatzi Isarom Ibeso. So the new Kohen Gadol cannot just bring a half Isaron to fulfill the mitzvah of the Bein HaArbayim, of the Machatzitza Bo'erev, of the evening half. V'lo chatzi esrono shel rishon, nor can he simply use the remaining chatzi isaron left over by his predecessor, the first Kohen Gadol. Ela mevi isaron sholei, but rather he must bring a full isaron in the afternoon, v'chotzeyu, and split it in half, u'makriv mechetze, and he has to be makriv upon the mizbeach one half of his isaron. What happens to the other half of his isaron? U'mechetze ovei. You put it aside, it goes down the tubes. You put it aside, wait till the next morning, and then it goes, the base has shreifa, it's burnt outside. Nimtzu shnei chatzoyim kerevin, comes out that two half isronos were brought, one by the first Kohen who Nebuch died, the other by the replacement Kohen, u'shnei chatzoyim ovdin, but two halves are lost, they got thrown down the tubes, they get thrown, essentially, they got discarded. That is, the half left over by the first Kohen, which he died before he could be makriv, and the half unnecessarily put aside by the second Kohen Gadol, who can only be makriv half, and is left with another half that he can't use, so it goes li'ibud. It's what you wait till overnight, lina, and then it's put becomes posel, and it goes to the Beis Hasrefa. Suppose, however, lo minu Kohen Acher, they did not appoint a new Kohen, which could have happened and could have left the position, so to speak, vacancy for some time. Mishel mihoi sakreva. So who then would bring the korbanos minchas chavitin? Rabbi Shimon omer mishel tzibur. Rabbi Shimon said, no problem. You got it from the trumas halishka, from the general public fund, and you took enough money to fund the korbanos minchas chavitin. And during the interim, the interregnum, when there was no new Kohen Gadol yet appointed. So holds Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishel Yorshim. The Kohen Gadol has heirs, H-E-I-R-S. He has a son, a brother, who are not, don't necessarily become the Kohen Gadol after him, but technically they are his Yorshim, they inherit from him. So they inherit his obligation. The interesting thing is that whether you hold like Rabbi Shimon that the korbanos minchas chavitin when there was no Kohen Gadol are brought by the tzibur, or whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that is brought by the first Kohen Gadol, the dead Kohen Gadol's yorshim, ushleima hoisa kareva, they, the tzibur or the yoresh, brought the carbon midchas chavitin whole, not halves. Shleima hoisokreva. The Gemara derives this from psukim, which we will not go into here. But we finished Mishnehei now, and by finishing Mishnehei, we've concluded the fourth perek. But we begin now the fifth perek, the first Mishnah, and this perek will give us general rules about the korbanos mincha in general. And the first rule is, as I have mentioned several times already, just in the first Mishnah, in passing, says, kol ha-menochos bos matzah. All the korbanos mincha could not be chometz, meaning the flour and water could not be allowed to rise. Chutz mechometz shebatodo u'shtei halechem shehen bos chometz, with two exceptions. And that is, together with a korban todah, a Thanksgiving offering, which is an animal offering, one had to bring 40 chalos, 30 of which were various types of matzah, 3 sets of 10 each of not chometz. But there was one set of 10 which was bedafke chometz, as the pasuk says with reference to lachem lachme todah, al chalos lechem chometz yakriv korbono. So those 10 loaves had to be chometz. That's the chometz Shabbat Todah. And the shtei alechem, the 2 loaves of bread which were brought on Shavuos, also had to be dafke chometz. As the pasuk says in Parshas Emor, Mimoshvo Sechem Toviu Lechem Tenufo Shtaim Shnei Esronim Solest Hieno Chomet Teofeno. The question is, how did you make the 10 chalos chomets of the Korban Todah and the 2 chalos of the Shtei HaLechem, how did you get them to rise? How did you make them chomets? The Tanna Kamma says, Rab Meir Omer, Sa'or bo delohem mitochon u'mechamtzon. You took a little bit of the flour and water and allowed it to rise so that it would have a force or a power of yeast, of being able to leaven the rest of it. And that's how you were able to leaven the rest of it. Sa'or bo delohem mitochon u'mechamtzon. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hi eino min hamufcha. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not going to work very well, because that flour and water that's allowed to rise in a few moments while you're preparing the lachme toda or the shtei alechem, that's not going to be potent enough to leaven the entire mixture. So therefore, what you do instead is elomevi es hasaor. You bring some yeast that's been fermenting for a long time, which has great potency. Maybe es hasaor, v'nosen l'toch hamida, and you put it into the measure of anisoron, meaning you take the measuring cup which measures anisoron, put in this yeast, and then umamale es hamida, you fill the measuring cup with flour. And that yeast, that saor, will now do its work and will ferment, leaven the entire isaron of flour and water. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Omrulo, however, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not going to work at all. Because af hi hoiso chaseiro o yesero. Because if you do that, a clump of yeast can be either very diluted, a lot of water and a little flour, or very pasty, a little water and a lot of flour. Either way, you've got problems. Why? Because if the yeast, the foreign yeast, which has been fermenting for days, is very diluted, very liquidy, mixed with a lot of water, so therefore its volume will be great. So great that if that volume would be all flour, if it would be all flour, there would not be sufficient flour to fill the whole isaron. And vice versa. If this saor, this yeast, was very thick and pasty with just a little bit of water, then its volume will be very small. So small that if it would be filled not with the flour and the water, the yeast, but rather with flour, there would be too much flour, more than an isaron. And therefore, the isaron would be either too much or too little. So therefore, you cannot import sa'or from some foreign source, but rather follow Rab Meir. And after you measure the isaron, you take some of it, add some water to it, let it ferment, and then put it back into the mixture. And although it won't have the potency of long-term yeast, it will be sufficient to render the entire isaron chometz, which is essential for these karbonos, the lachmei toda and the shtei halechem. And so we have finished lesson number 11 in our study of Mishnayos Menachos. We have finished the 5th Mishnah of the 4th Perek and the 1st Mishnah of the 5th Perek, ending our lesson number 11.